I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order on February 15th, 2017 at 3:38 p.m. Could we go ahead and have roll call? Denise Westbrook.
Shantha Wilkinson.
Lauren Wisely.
Alan Stafford.
Debbie Fees.
Andrea Rogers.
Maria Edgerton.
Julia Martin.
Anna Bodigans.
Jen Scott.
Patricia Oliphant.
Susie Mitchell.
Andrea went ahead and shared the board minutes. I have a change. On the second page, there is a that's November, pardon me. On the second page, under building and grounds, the second, third sentence, the grandstand construction should be staring.
Oh, sorry.
No yeah. Worries.
Got it.
Spell check isn't that smart. That's it.
Perfect.
So, any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of minutes with the addition?
Aye.
Oh, we need a second.
Oh, yeah.
Jen Scott seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Fantastic. Director's report.
First, we'd like to hear from the student government president, Julie Martin. Everybody knows Julie.
So, in terms of SGA, we rescheduled our dodgeball tournament to March 3rd. It's going to be after school this time to increase involvement and make it more accessible. Also, our prom is going to be held May 25th at Baywood, just to get exciting. And we have several fundraisers planned leading up to that. In terms of drama, we have auditions for the spring musical Beauty and the Beast tomorrow after school. Also tomorrow, the last basketball game for both girls and boys being held. And swimming's going to state championships next weekend, or next week and weekend, hopefully. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's going to be the Beast?
Julio.
Thank you, Julie. Any questions?
Thanks, Julie.
Any questions? Thank you, sweetie.
Thanks, Julie.
Just a couple of things on director's report. One, just to make you aware that we will be having professional development all day tomorrow. Our focus.
Tomorrow?
Friday. Sorry. wishing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the focus of that particular development is it's really ongoing for us around this year, around IB, around rigor, both across the middle school and the high school. What rigor looks like, rigor is not necessarily hard. Okay, that's not our definition, or an educational definition of rigor. Rigor is about going deeper into content and asking questions that extend thinking and so on. So teachers will be working on that from now until the end of the year, which will also fold into their writing sample units and curriculum maps that will ultimately be used for the charter for the charter renewal.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I want to say on that. Next item I had is school culture. I don't know how many of you noted the letter that Mike was in the newsletter this week.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You need to read that.
Yeah.
But I was really prompted to put it in there because of I would say some incidences that we have followed up on. The truth is, if you watch a school and you watch any school cycle, kids, I mean, this is how it operates. Kids come to school, you work at trying to create a school culture that is peaceful and responsible and respectful. And you know, we've been, I think, fairly successful at doing that, both by teachers and by our students. As the year kind of cycles and things get a little, kids get more comfortable, there are times that kids are just doing or saying things that either aren't socially appropriate, may be hurtful to some people, it may not be hurtful to others. So I just want to make you all aware that I sent that letter with intentionality, that parents be mindful of the kinds of commentary they're making to their children and expecting of their children in regards to being in school and treating one another, okay? So that was one reason. The second reason is we've had some conversations with our faculty around that, and tomorrow again we will have conversations. It may also promoting us to doing more overt continuing conversation and activities around that within the middle school specifically. And it's prompted us to think about perhaps, and I keep using the words like perhaps because I'm trying not to make a commitment even though I know we're going there, around maybe an international mindedness, international global expedition next school year. Again, to bring cultures together, to bring diversified ideas together, and so on. So I just wanted to alert the board to that, and to say that we are working at and trying to maintain a civil culture. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is all the outside peripheral noise eventually makes its way into the school environment.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, guess what? One of the pitfalls of having a highly intelligent student population is that kids have opinions on things,
mm-hmm.
and they don't always know mm-hmm. when to say it and when not to.
Mm-hmm. We teach a lot of filtering around here, especially in the middle school.
On how to say it.
Parents on that.
So I wanted to make you aware of that. The other thing, I'm also have asked Gina to get on the agenda for the next outreach meeting, because I'd like to talk to the outreach committee to see if they have thoughts, suggestions, ideas relative to that. Okay? Yes?
I have a question. So what the school is doing right now for diversity and inclusion?
Okay, let me take you through the kinds of things we have done and always do. One thing that we do at the beginning of every year is we have what we call a school-wide expedition mm-hmm. on something we call SAS, S-A-A-S, Superior Academics, Awesome Students. And we focus really on what it means to be an awesome student. Awesome, not as in performing student, but awesome in terms of being respectful, kind, and mindful of others, and responsible students. So we take generally the first week of school, and we as a student body, particularly in the middle school, focus on that. Second thing we also have done is we have, within the IB, International Baccalaureate Learner Profile, we have also focused on the profile.
Attributes.
Yes. At the high school, for instance, they've taken one a month, and they focused on it, and they've done something with bulletin boards, talking with the kids. At the middle school, they have done they've done something similar, but it's middle school approach as opposed to high school approach. I mean, I had a whole list of items that we do. Um, Those are the two major, major activities. The other things that happen, for instance, we have in our assembly, we have assemblies mm-hmm. for middle school kids. And one of the things, kids are recognized in those assemblies for being, if they make the honor roll, but also children are recognized if they are awesome students. Yeah. They've been kind, they've been inclusive, they've been whatever words we want to use. Mm-hmm. And those kids are recognized by the teachers, and there's a mass assembly for that. Within the teachers' classrooms, I think they always try to be mindful of what they are doing to continue and to stimulate to stimulate acceptance.
Thank you. One more question.
Sure.
My questions are because somebody brought to my attention that mm-hmm. was a situation with one kid in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen just once, but I think that multiple times. Mm-hmm. And calling him names. Mm-hmm. So.
Not right now, but if you want to, I'll explain it.
I know.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, Anna, at this point, if you want to speak in generalities,
uh-huh.
you're able to continue doing that.
Yeah.
If you're going to get much more specific, then we're going to have to go into executive session because we can't discuss
okay.
students. We can't narrow down uh-huh. who potentially a student might be by description.
Yes.
So
we want to hear more about it.
We want to hear what you have to
yeah.
say. I,
uh-huh.
I just don't want to get too specific in a general form.
So
yes.
so if you mm-hmm. generalize, in other words, it's fine.
It can continue.
Yeah.
If we get to an area where the child can be identified,
yeah.
then that has to go on in a different
okay.
form.
So okay. I would like to separate.
We
yes.
also have guests here. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I would like to maybe discuss with you guys maybe later.
Yeah. Okay.
That was, yes,
we'll just, at the end
session.
Of the meeting, we'll,
yes.
yes.
Okay. Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the clarification.
Okay.
All right, this will be quick, and then we can get to Maria. We have to have an approved calendar by the end of March. There's legislation pending that schools need to start after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Tech is starting after Labor Day. I have their calendar. Traditionally, we have followed their calendar. However, we prefer to start before.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I have developed two potential calendars, one where we start before,
mm-hmm.
one where we start after, and I just need some direction from
mm-hmm.
the board as to which direction to go. I would hope if in June, when they probably will make their decision,
right.
That they would not make it effective for the next school year.
Correct.
But who knows what's going to happen.
We still
have to have this submitted by March 31st to the Department of Education.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have very strong feelings about this. I believe that we, and I've said this before publicly, Jen Scott, I believe that we need to speak to and have very strong and frequent conversations with our legislators about this issue. I have done so myself with both Gerald Hocker and Ron Gray. I think this is a slippery slope. We are a charter school. We are independently operated. We need to make our calendar that works best for us. And that's all. If they want to come back and tell us that we have to make a change, then that's on them. But I truly believe that we do not capitulate at this point unless it's good for us to start after Labor Day.
The chief school officers, and the reason I know about it, as I read about it in the newspaper, but the chief school officers have come out very strongly against the legislation basically because they believe that their districts and their boards should have the prerogative of beginning and ending their school districts and designing their calendars in accordance with the needs of their particular school districts. Mm-hmm. So they have come out very strongly in the same vein.
And what I said to Ron is, I said, look, I get that it might be better for a lot of the constituents in your area to start after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So fine, but give charters an opt-out. We have an opt-out in other situations in terms of legislation.
Correct.
It's not, it is within the realm of reasonable to allow charters to opt out. So, I mean, I wasn't asking him to, you know.
And the, just as a point of information for other board members, the two districts in Sussex County that start after Labor Day right now are Indian River, which has certainly beach area and the summer traffic. Mm-hmm. Traffic is traffic of people, and Cape Henlopen. And they have designed their calendars to fit what their communities have needed. Okay.
So, Alan, are you able, like, in terms of process, because we need it by end March.
Mm-hmm.
So March would, in essence, be the voting mm-hmm. time.
Yes.
So are you able to distribute the draft of what you mm-hmm. have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Do you want me to do that prior to the next meeting?
Yeah.
One that is following the model we've traditionally
Correct.
Modeled.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was asking for direction.
Yeah,
that's great.
That would be fantastic. Appreciate it.
Maria?
Okay, I would love to stay and to talk to you guys, but I really have to go get ready for the chamber mixer. So I will give out information and answer any questions that you guys have via phone or email. But I really do need to go set up. The chamber mixer starts at 4:30, and they probably are arriving. I can stay for maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, 5 minutes is good.
Can you give them a 5 minute?
5 minutes, absolutely. Yes. So the way we have the membership fees set up are you get about $50 discount if you pay for the annual membership and up front instead of paying monthly. And we've given them an even bigger discount if they sign up by March 20th. And we even have a bigger discount for cheer members. We have a cheer tour tomorrow at 10:30 for cheer members. And we've already had two members sign up. So we have our first member. Somebody said the other day, I want to be the first member. And I said, it was too late. We already have had people sign up. Yeah. So, and if people do not want to pay monthly fee, they can pay for drop-in. So you can pay $10 just to come swim for the day. We'll always have lanes open for a free swim. And lap swim, and that's what everybody's been really excited about. So they can try the pool to see if the temperature is good or to see if it's something that they would like before they invest in a monthly fee or a semi-annual membership or an annual membership. We've set up individual tours and people have come in and they have paid right on the spot. So we're really excited about March 1st, and people have already signed up for swim lessons also. So the phone has been ringing, people have been emailing, people have been coming in for tours. So at first glance, people see the fees and they're like, well, you know, oh my gosh. But then after coming in and seeing the facility and, you know, really breaking it down, they're like, well, you know, it is open 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're open Saturday. The numbers don't seem so staggering after they come and see the facility and start thinking about it. So. We've had a lot of support and we're excited about it.
That was one of my two questions, Maria, in terms of fees and how does it relate in terms of comparability area?
Yeah.
Are we in the middle? Are we high?
No, we're more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. We're more expensive, but we offer much more availability. And that's
okay.
been people from Sea Colony and Bethany have been calling and wanting to use the pool because. NS is not available during the times they want. Sea Colony is not available, or there's certain times, or their pool breaks down. So the fact that we're a new pool, and the fact that we'll always have a lap swim available, the fact that our hours are when they are,
That's what people are excited about.
That's the draw. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really, it's not apples to apples.
Right, correct.
Because our facility is so unique compared to what else is available
right.
at this time.
Well, just trying to circle one with the lanes wider, that's huge.
Do we have a limit of memberships? That was the other thing. Is it endless?
Optimistically, I would love to say yes, we have to cut our membership off at a certain amount.
I
can't imagine there would ever be a situation where we would have to cut our membership off at a certain amount.
All right.
Just because the square footage of the facility, the square footage of the pool, and the amount of hours that were open, I cannot imagine there would be a reason that we would have to cut off our membership.
And when you say annual, what is the year? Is it from April 1st?
No, so if they join on March 1st, their membership would expire on March 1st. That's why we're trying to find a software program
that tracks that. So if we join June 1st, then it's
it's a 12-month membership.
So it's rolling.
Yes. Now, on the monthly membership, that's going to be a little harder to track for the staff. If they join June 15th, we have to have a software program that reminds us that on June 15th, we have to bill them again.
Yeah.
So that's been a little more difficult to find a software program that's affordable and is going to help us track that.
So we're going to provide a guard for all those hours too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've hired two new lifeguards and they have started. Mm-hmm. And Kristen is a guard and she's been certified to teach lifeguarding class.
So we're going to have lifeguarding classes where we have swimming lessons for all levels already scheduled for the spring.
Okay. Saving? You teach life saving? Or is that
lifeguarding?
Lifeguarding.
CPR.
Right.
CPR. Red Cross lifeguarding.
It's the same thing.
And we want to do that sooner so that we have our own pool of lifeguards to draw from.
That's good to know.
There's also plans to do water aerobics.
But kids who need it for summer jobs may need it too.
Oh, yeah, yep. Even kids on the swim team, we've asked. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an age for that class?
There is.
Are you going to be doing the Red Cross lifeguarding course?
Yes.
For our students, if they want to? Or for anyone?
It'll be offered to everyone now.
For a fee.
For a fee. Yeah,
okay,
I'm not
fine.
Sure.
When is that going to be?
Well, Kristen just got certified and she has to work with somebody who certified her to, because they have to supervise her first class. So she has to link that up with when they're available. So we don't have that scheduled yet.
Okay. But will it be in time for kids to get jobs this summer?
Yes.
I would assume so.
Okay.
Maybe we just. I don't know. She did ask.
Oh, already?
I'm sorry.
You were in a sidebar.
She was talking to me.
Any other questions for Maria so she can get to the mixer?
And please feel free to call anytime or email anytime. I'd be happy to set up a time to talk to you about anybody. Or even if your friends have questions about the lessons or the membership, just have them call me or Kristen, and we'll be happy to go into detail.
A great deal of what she's discussing is on our website. As things have been coming on, we've been adding stuff.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Thank you so much.
I want to bring something up. I have a concern, which is that we have, you know, we're going to have strangers in this building mm-hmm. during the school day when we have children here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how are we going to, that's what I was talking to Trish about. Can we lock everything up? I mean, how are we going to make sure that those people do not come into our school building?
They can't get out of the
aquatics
lobby mm-hmm. because those doors lock. Eventually, those will be unlocked because the locker rooms that they're going to use once they get reconfigured are in that hallway. They can't get out of the locker rooms because those doors will be locked from the outside. So even though there's the push bar, mm-hmm. it's not going to push.
And they can't get down the hall because we will have...
Those doors will be locked.
That's right, it's going to be locked.
So the only place they can go from the lobby of the pool is into the locker rooms, and they can't get any further than that during the school day.
Because the locker rooms are on, if you envision...
No, our kids are going to use the visitors' locker rooms.
If you envision the two hallways, okay, not the regular kids' locker rooms, but there are locker rooms in the hallway. Follow what I'm saying?
I hear you, but I can't picture it, but okay.
We have visiting team locker rooms, smaller locker rooms for visiting teams. in the hallways that go to the pool.
Right.
So our kids will use those locker rooms. The girls will use the girls' side, the boys will use the boys' side during the school day.
Mm-hmm.
People who are coming to the pool can only get in out of the pool lobby, can only get into our big locker rooms. They can't get any further because those doors will be bolted from the outside.
Okay, we just have to
from this side, from this side, so they can't get any further than that.
Okay.
Some other things that she didn't have time to mention that I think are noteworthy. I signed a contract yesterday with a consortium, a wellness consortium that is actually located in this. Their offices are located across in that little shopping center over there, and they had 500 or 600 members. In Sussex County, including schools and school districts. Mm-hmm. And part of the agreement that I signed is that we will host something at this facility, wellness related. And then our staff, because we're now in this, get to participate in any of the things that are happening at any of the sites.
Wow.
So if Indian River is offering a yoga class and they want to get into that yoga class, they can. If we offer a water aerobics class and teachers from Indian River want to come here, they can come here for free. They also have this huge membership is on the mailing list, so they're going to be able to distribute our lesson information, our membership information for us to at least 500 people.
Wow.
Good. So she's, Maria's been kind of out there and bringing in the cheer groups and really marketing us well.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of teams have asked to use our pool.
We have had Sussex Central in here because Ennis broke down, their pump broke down, so they've been in here.
IR
was here over the break. We have had the community swim team in, the Otters, the Ennis. They're coming back in the spring for spring conditioning, and then they're coming back in the summer for the summer season, and back in the fall for fall conditioning.
The Otters?
And then back in the winter. For the winter season.
So they're going to have their whole summer season here.
They're moving all of their operations here.
So that
and
seems like a lot of interest fast to me.
Well, there's not a lot available.
Yeah.
Even when it's outdoor pools, even the outdoor pools is more favorable because it has more lanes.
Yeah.
So.
Did you mention the comp? I was tuned out to something else.
The conference was held last weekend. There was 840 total participants.
And
open conference.
Both from Maria and from Steve Bastinelli and from Kristen, they talked about the parents who, and the conference, within the conference, the coaches said how wonderful it was. I had numerous parents say something to me, not from this school, not necessarily from this school, but from all of them.
Katie Eckholm, please report to the office.
Did we make any money?
Katie Eckholm, report to the office.
The boost, a few hundred dollars.
Concessions?
Concessions.
And t-shirts.
Somewhere around $800 bucks.
$1,200, was it?
Mm-hmm. And so I think we made.
And that goes to boosters?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But the other money, you don't make a lot of money on the conference event.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's okay.
Because they're collecting money to try to pay for.
Believe me, there's a whole lot going on whether it can be basketball money or whether it can be swimming team money, and I think the swim team parents donated all the stuff that was sold.
They have.
Okay, but we need to
Let me say this. The sports boosters submit a financial report. We have the sports boosters have submitted a financial report that tells who's made what money and whose bucket it's in. Okay? So they are keeping track of that.
Right.
All right? So just
remember, we've had conversations about this, about how we don't want every team out there doing their own fundraising. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as I know, right now, Steve Bastinelli is brought into. He's worked closely with the president and the sports boosters group.
And I know there was some coordination between the swim team and the basketball team.
so that they're not both selling pizza at the same time, or they're not, there was some coordination there.
I just want to make sure that someone from, you know, someone is in charge.
Yeah, I mean, Betsy was very involved, and she's usually here, right? And I guess just on a personal note, I was very impressed. I mean, we had kids of all different abilities on that swim team, and the difference in some of our beginner swimmers from the beginning of the season to the end was, in my mind, remarkable. I was really, really impressed. One child said to me after the first meet, she said, "There was no one in my lane with me," and she had never swam a race before in her life.
She was so slow.
She had only been practiced, and when you practice with other kids in your lane, and she got up for her first swim meet, and she was the only one in the lane. She had never had that before. And, you know, and she said, "Every time I dive, I'm belly flopping," and by the end, you couldn't tell that it was her first season at all. It was really great.
And we're also working with Kristen and with the teachers and PE about what we're going to put in place for our students next year during the school year. Electives for the high school students, which would include lifeguarding classes.
My kids do not want that. We don't have to swim during the day.
I mean, I don't know if this has been discussed, but I went to a school where everyone had to learn to swim.
Well, our middle school, I mean, right now, the tentative plan before we've ever really laid it out there is that, and we don't know if we can make it work, is that all middle school kids are going to be involved in some type of swimming. We'll cross the bridge.
Especially where we live.
We'll cross the bridge when I get the phone card. Since I don't want my kid doing it, I'll cross that when I come down.
Safety, water safety.
But, well, I mean, as I am prone to say, it'd be derelict on our parts not to offer.
I agree.
We have a facility right here.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Anything else?
We added external accounts just because we currently have a staff member former staff member as a signer for one of the external accounts, and we need to have that person replaced with a third. All of our accounts that we have for the student government, our activity fee, our petty cash, require two signatures. And we do have two signatures currently for the student government account. But we need a third, just in case one of the two are not available.
So can we, as a board, decide to?
Yes.
Give.
We need Dr. Elephant to be on there. She's on the other two accounts.
To give Trish, to give the two of you the authority to decide who that individual is going to be.
I need to take minutes to the bank.
It has to be a resolution.
With a name and that it's been voted on and approved by the board.
Okay, and it has to be a resolution.
It could just be a vote, I think.
So I make a motion to add Dr. Patricia Oliphant.
And to remove, do we have to?
Well, to the which account?
Student government account
as a third signer, and remove the current third signer from the account. Could I have a second?
Second. Shanta Wilkinson, second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? And the motion carries.
Good. Thank you.
Sure.
Did we add anything else to the director's report other than that?
No.
Okay. You should have a copy of the financial report for January. The committee met yesterday and went through these, as we typically do, in great detail. I always like to point out that on the first page where we are in terms of where we would expect to be. So we would think that we would be at about 58.33%, and we're at 57.73%. So we're ahead of the curve. On page two, I pointed out on page two in the center, We had budgeted $200,000 for miscellaneous deposits, and that amount is currently $114,000. However, you have to add the $100,000 that we transferred to sports, so it really is $214,000. And I just can't figure out how to represent that without dually representing it.
Right, exactly.
So we've already gotten deposits above and beyond what we had anticipated.
So, Alan, which line is the transfer? Where's that evident?
It's part of the 105 that's in athletics. There was a $5,000 donation mm-hmm. to the athletic program, and then the other 100 was what we gave them from the miscellaneous receipts.
Okay.
The next pages show line by line by line where we are. You can go through that. But next month you're going to be getting an updated budget where all those numbers have been modified, so they all come in line with where they should be at this time of the fiscal year. Except I would point out on page 3, the one that's numbered 3, under instructional supplies, which is in the top section, 56150, it looks like we have a huge amount of expenditures there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just keep that in mind, and in a second I'll explain why it's that number and how it's going to change. Okay.
And operating supplies, I think I might ask this every month.
These are things that we did not anticipate needing, like to clean and
snow removal.
Just like footnoted.
Well, next month when I bring the updated budget, those there'll be numbers there to go, and also we're buying stairs for the pool that'll be on there, new vacuum for the pool that'll be on there.
Okay.
They'll go into one of those two categories based on the price.
Got it.
Remember, if it's over $5,000, it has to have 5.7.
Yes.
If it's under $5,000, it has to 5.6. That's the first two numbers. All right, so on the one that's tabled 6, and I have no clue why all of these have renumbered themselves, but I will try to figure this out. In the very top section,
mm-hmm.
MCI for fiscal year 17,
mm-hmm.
we moved that money with the help of the Division of Accounting to our aquatics program so that we could monitor expenditures related to the aquatics program to get a good handle on what's happening. We spent probably $14,000 or $16,000 of that, and then they contacted us and they said that you can't do that. You can't move money from one ledger group to another.
Okay. Yep.
State ledger group to a local.
All right, got it.
We had to recode everything to replace the money, which we have done, and now it's going to go back into that ledger group. It's going to go back into account 50022.
Okay.
The reason why you can't do it is because when you move it, it shows up as an expense. And that $71,000 showed up as an instructional materials expense.